Welcome to the Luxentis Show, where I share tips on how to create and lead successful people-centric organizations. Hi, I'm Jocelyn Moriners, CEO of Luxentis, a leadership and team training company offering at-your-pace online courses and implementation-style workshops. Make sure to check out our website for available courses and download the top 5 reasons businesses struggle to attract and retain top talent and what to do about it. Like many leadership skills, having the ability to build trust begins with recognizing the importance of this activity and understanding the necessity to behave in a manner that will contribute to the development of that much desired trust and credibility. Yes, some believe that having positional power automatically entitles them to this precious attitude, but I feel that this is actually compliance and not really trust. And to have a truly highly functioning team, it's essential to build trust, not just have compliance. So what are some strategies that can help us build trust? Well, the first one is open communication. Share information about the decisions, about the actions. Be clear about your intentions, about the goals. Now, that doesn't mean to be careless. Well, I'm just speaking the truth. No, you can't just come in and say whatever and start blaming and finger pointing and throwing people under the bus because it's the truth and I'm communicating openly. No. it still requires most situations require tact, diplomacy, discretion. So continue to employ that. You want to build trust, but that doesn't mean just saying everything and anything that's going to hurt everybody's feelings, destroy their self-esteem, or create unnecessary tension and conflict between team members. No, of course not. You still need to be respectful of individuals. At the same time, it's finding that way to be open to communicate clearly while still keeping in mind people's feelings, keeping in mind people's right to privacy, dignity. So it does require finesse in speaking the truth, a truth that is not destructive. It requires a certain skill for sure to be able to communicate openly to build that trust. And I think that if you really show care, it's actually going to build that trust even more because then people won't be fearful that they're going to be next on your wonderful truth list. And that next time you mention their name, it won't be with all these things that they really wish you hadn't told the whole team. So just keep in mind when you want to create that idea of openness and you want to build that trust by sharing with the team, be mindful of how you're sharing it and whether it's positive or not and the impact that it has on the individuals. It's about finding a way of explaining the why. And that's more what I focus on. If I have to share something in a way that's highly diplomatic because I believe that the unfiltered truth would be negative to the team, it would have a destructive impact, then I'm still being truthful and I just focus on the why and the solutions. And that allows the individuals involved the right to their dignity and privacy while still building the trust with the team. And because, and the reason I do that, I certainly would not just come out and make something up just because, oh, well, I'm concerned about how they're going to react, so I'm just going to make something up. It's just, I find a way to say things that will lead to a productive relationship. Because you want the team, if you want the team to trust you, like, they have to believe that you have their best interest in mind. And you have to trust that they are also capable of understanding. And so that's why maybe you will reveal things a little bit more, show a little bit more of what's happening behind the scenes, because you want that two-way street to happen. And stomach, because this is an argument that I've heard from some entrepreneurs. Well, if I tell them more, they might question my decisions. All right, welcome it. Because if they question a decision you made, maybe it's because they don't understand the full context. So maybe it requires a little bit more explanation. It also provides an opportunity to clear up any misunderstandings. Or maybe it just requires further investigation. Maybe there's something that wasn't considered in the decision that really should have. And it doesn't mean that's like, oh, I didn't see what they saw. Maybe you did, but maybe you just were missing an element of information that they had that you didn't, and that just didn't surface. So I wouldn't worry too much about team members questioning my decisions. It's usually an opportunity, actually, first of all, to see whether you really had all the information and whether they had information that maybe you hadn't. So it's a great opportunity. And because it's all part of this open communication thing, it's also a great opportunity to practice active listening. Because if you're listening to the team's concerns and ideas, then it also provides you with an opportunity to take their feedback into account. So again, part of that idea of not being too concerned about people questioning my decisions, so I don't want to share too much. It's a great opportunity to get feedback. It's a great opportunity to practice active listening, and it really helps build trust. Another aspect of developing trust to build a high-functioning team, you really have to walk the talk. That is non-negotiable. A key component of building trust is backing up the words with actions. If you say you're going to do something, do that thing. Of course, there are times when you, again, have a certain element of a certain number of information, and that information turns out to be different, or you gain new information as you go along. So I'm not saying that everything that you say will always happen, but generally speaking, do you follow through on your commitments? So if you say you're going to do something, make sure you do it. It's really, really important in building that trust with the team. It shows the team that you're reliable, that you're accountable, that they can count on you to be there. So it's really important for you to show up, because if you're always promising things and then none of them happen, or a percent of them happen, that doesn't build trust. It's like, okay, yeah, whatever. It doesn't mean that everything is going to happen. Like I just said, sometimes you had certain information and things turn out differently, or you had certain expectations and it didn't work out. And of course, then you dig into the why, try to figure out and fix it. But sometimes it's just you dropping the ball. Even though you really meant to, you really wanted to stick to that commitment that you made, you dropped the ball. You had a lot of things going on and oops. So admit your mistake. Apologize. It's usually appropriate to apologize and take responsibility. And just that take responsibility, I've been seeing it way too much in a, I don't know, I don't want to go as far as saying that it's in a fake way, but it feels, I'm going to say fake adjacent. Maybe it's not, it's my interpretation. Just keep that in mind. Meet it, meet it. If you're going to take responsibility, just beware of that. I take responsibility speech. It's just, it's been coming out a lot, and there is that risk of it coming across as prepared, and just really feel it. Hopefully you do want to feel it because you care about your team members. I know I dropped the ball. Hey, it happens. And sometimes I just miss stuff. I try, and there are some circumstances make it so that there are just too many things, and or something happened and I completely missed something. My first reaction is, I am sorry. I try to explain why. I don't rationalize why. I don't excuse why. But I do kind of explain the context as to why. Very briefly, I'm not trying to convince the person that, you know, I didn't do anything wrong, because there is still that impact of the fact that I dropped the ball on something. There is that impact. It made them feel really badly or something. So yeah, just take that moment, apologize, and yeah, say sorry, and here's what happened, and but now here's my answer. So that's a great opportunity again to build that trust, to admit, and not just make up an excuse, and just take a moment and apologize. And of course, it depends on the severity, right? There may be some things that are so severe that it may take a while to repair that trust. But keep at it. I mean, it should come back if you genuinely feel badly for what happened and you want to repair that relationship, that professional relationship. We're just talking in the context of business here. Trust is fragile, and it requires a lot of care. It requires a lot of intention. And it's important that it's not done in a manipulative way, in the sense that when I want to build trust with team members, it's not with the idea that I'm going to build trust because then I will be able to. It's really because I genuinely care about them and I am in it with them. And I want everybody to feel that genuine group effort. And so that's why, in my opinion, like, trust is really, it's key, and but it has to come from an authentic place. It can't come from this idea of, oh, I saw this episode and the person said I should build trust, so here I am building trust. Like, it really should be a mindset. Another important thing to remember is that trust is for all. So as part of that, I said group effort, it's that it's not just for the leaders, it's for the whole team. Because it's also important for team members to trust one another. It's important for them to feel that should something happen, that their colleagues will be there to support them. That if they need a hand, the colleagues will show up. Like, vice versa, obviously. I mean, the team member has to do that for others as well. But if there's this inability to build trust between team members, that needs to be investigated and rectified, because it will prevent a group from becoming a high performance team. If there is trust within the team, then they are more likely to share information with each other. If there is a lack of trust, then they are more likely to be worried about being backstabbed. They're likely are more worried about making mistakes because the other person will go report them or something like that. So it's important to build trust. And There's a difference between building trust and having, I'm gonna see a click. So this isn't just a little group like, hey, we're gonna, you know, hang together, not say anything about each other, okay? Like, that's not healthy either. That's not good. It's really about that openness. And remember that this is a professional setting, right? It's not building trust in the sense that, you know, my best friend or my spouse or something like that. It's building trust in the professional sense. So let's keep that in mind. But it does create a more positive work environment. And then they are likely to be more happy to collaborate. So that's another side benefit of building that trust. An important thing to keep in mind about building this trust is that it takes time. Building trust takes time. It's an ongoing process that requires continuous effort and attention. So don't be discouraged if you don't see immediate results. Don't be discouraged if there's a setback. Don't expect it to happen overnight. Do keep being consistent and keep acting intentionally and keep reminding yourself of the importance of this. Over time, by consistently keeping your promises, following through on your commitments, acting with integrity, you can build trust and credibility with your team, and it will contribute to creating a high-performing team. I hope this episode helped generate ideas and potential solutions. If you know someone who could use this message today, please make sure to share it with them. And if you're feeling particularly generous, why not rate and review wherever applicable? I'd really appreciate that. So thank you for listening, and let's all continue working on creating and leading successful people-centric organizations.